We're in Ephesians, and we're going to be in chapter 6. And we've been looking at what Paul has titled God's design for the church. It's the idea that God has something important in mind and that he wants us to follow this guideline that we would be able to be successful as a church. And as we've been going through God's design for the church, we've been looking at a number of different things. And in these last couple of chapters, we've been continuing in this idea of what is our proper Christian conduct. And we started with the family, and we looked at the husbands and the wives and the children. And now in chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, we come to what is one of the hardest things that we'll have to deal with in our lives, and that is a spirit-filled workplace. Think about that for a minute. You spend probably a lot of your time during the day at work. If we have an 8-hour work day every day and you're up for around 16 hours, you're going to be, half of your day is right there eaten up by work, right? But getting ready in the morning and going to work is maybe an hour. And when you get home and unwinding and changing and everything else is an hour. So there goes 2 hours. You got 6 left, and you got to eat dinner sometime in there, and you've got to do all these little things. And by the time you know it, those other 8 hours that you had during the day have gone by really fast. The 8 hours that you have at work are the slowest, most grueling 8 hours of your day. And the 8 hours that you have at home or outside of work, because some of you drive on the freeways, and it takes you 2 hours just to get home. So that 8 hours that you had at home is down to 6, minus your time to get ready in the morning. And so it becomes very important how we deal with our work, because it's going to affect the entire rest of our life. How we spend those 8 hours at work will affect how we spend the other 8 hours at home. Amen? I'm also including another six to eight hours of sleep, which I'm not expecting you to be mean or angry or anything like that. I'm hoping that you'll be asleep. But here, Paul says if we really want the church to do well, and if God really wants the church to do well, we have to talk about how the church acts at work. How do we act at work? Do you know that your testimony at work is the light that God wants to shine to your coworkers? And if you don't have the proper attitude towards your boss and towards your coworkers, what's going to end up happening is that you're not going to have a testimony that's good. And you wouldn't be able to share the gospel with them. So Paul says if the church is going to be effective, there's 8 hours of evangelism every day that we can be doing through how we live our lives. And so here we're going to be looking at what is a spirit-filled workplace. And look at it with me. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be starting in verse 5. And he says here, bondservants. Now, for the sake of argument, we're going to say these are employees, okay? Employees. Be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or if he is free. So notice at the very end here, verse 8, whether he is a slave or free. So it doesn't matter if you're a bond servant or if you're just an employee, slave or free, you treat your master or your employer, your boss, the same way. And the first thing, there's only really two areas that we're going to be looking at tonight. The first area is how employees are to submit to their bosses. So on that first line of your outline, I'd encourage you to write the submission of employees. How many of you here tonight are an employee? You work for someone else. Yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? Having to submit yourself to someone else. And here he says, yes, the first thing we need to understand is that as employees, we are to willfully submit ourselves to our bosses. And he starts in verse 5, and he says, bondservants, be obedient. So the first thing that we have to understand about what proper submission of employees is, and if we're going to fill the workplace with the Spirit of God, number one, employees, if you're an employee here tonight, you are to have the right behavior. And what is the right behavior? Well, he says it right there in verse 5. servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Notice he says you have to be obedient. You have to do what you're told. How many of you know that as an employee, you need to do what your boss tells you to do? If you don't do what your boss tells you to do, you're going to get fired. You're not going to have a job for very long. You're definitely not going to get promoted. You're not going to get a raise. You have to do what your boss tells you to do. And one of the reasons why it's so hard is that a lot of times we don't want to submit to another human being. Amen? We don't want to do what that nasty, evil old boss that we have, or that good, nice boss, still don't want to do what he says. Doesn't matter if he's good or not. Doesn't matter if he's nice or not. As human beings, we all want to be our own masters, and we have a tendency to not want to submit to the authority over us. Well, what does he know? Sits in his office all day. He doesn't see what I'm doing out on the floor. He doesn't know how this part goes together. He doesn't know how this paperwork gets filled out. He has no clue. A lot of times we'll get that prideful attitude, but you see, as a Christian, we can't be prideful in our jobs. We have to be obedient. We have to have the right behavior. And the right heart is obedience. I remember we were in Nicaragua, and our foreman, we were building a building. We were digging foundations. And the holes that we were digging were six holes that were 5 feet deep, 4 feet across by 4 feet across. Okay, it's a pretty big hole. And he had to dig six of those. He got paid by the day. And so we spent almost a week digging all of these holes. And after the week was up, I came back and I resurveyed everything. And I said, oops, we're a foot off. So the way you have to do that when you're digging a foundation is you have to fill the entire hole back up, compacting each layer of the hole as you go. You put in a little bit of dirt and you hammer it down with a compactor. And you get all the way back up to like that. You never dug anything. And then you mark out your holes just a foot over and redig the entire hole. Because otherwise, when you pour your concrete, it's not going to line up and it's not going to be strong around your hole. And so he gave me a little bit of attitude and he says, do you have any idea how much work it's going to take to redig those six holes and fill in the other six holes? First fill in the six holes, compact them, and then redig them again. And I said, does it really matter to you? Don't you get paid by the day? You didn't lose anything by doing the work. You won't lose anything by filling in the holes. You certainly aren't going to lose anything by digging the new ones. What's it to you if we redig the hole? I'm the only one who lost. I'm the one who made the mistake. I'm the one who has to pay you triple. Because you dug the hole, then you filled the hole, then you had to dig the hole again. That's three times what I should have been paying. What is it to you? And a lot of times we fail to realize and have that perspective at work, don't we? If we're paid by the hour and we've given them an hour worth of good, hard labor, whether or not they make a mistake and we have to redo it is irrelevant. Whether or not that we like to do it is irrelevant. That's a job that we have. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to obey our masters. You know, when God asks me to do something, I'm supposed to do it wholeheartedly, aren't I? I'm supposed to serve the Lord without question. Now, I'm also supposed to serve my boss as if I would serve the Lord. And I want to ask you, what's your heart in your job? What is your behavior like? Are you one of the ones who's obedient and says, okay, I'll get it done? If your boss asks you to do something, do you get it done the first time? Do you get it done on time? Do you get it done efficiently? You know, there's a lot of people out there looking for jobs today. There's a lot of people out there looking for jobs today. Christians should be the cream of the crop. We should be the most dedicated, hardworking, fastest, best workers out there. Why? Because God says you need to be obedient. So today, what is your testimony at work? Are you obedient? Are you submissive to your boss? Do you just get your job done? Or do you always complain about what you have to do? But notice the second thing he says here. Not only are you to have the right behavior, but you're to have the right perspective. Notice what he says. He says, yes, I want you to be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh. Now look at those words, according to the flesh. That's the proper perspective. You know, when I look at bosses and having to obey a person and all this other stuff, the right perspective is that it's only temporary. They're not your bosses in heaven, are they? Are they your bosses when you get home? No, they're just your bosses while you're at that worldly job. do your job, go home, and you'll be okay. And when I get to heaven, he's not going to be my boss anymore, is he? So I'm okay with going ahead and obeying him now. It's a temporary thing. It's an earthly thing. You know, there are certain things that I have to obey that are fleshly and earthly. And then there are certain things that I have to obey that are spiritual and godly. I have to obey my stomach. When he says that it's time to eat, I need to eat or I'll die. It's a fleshly, earthly thing. But I need to obey that. And when I'm thirsty, I need to drink. Otherwise, I'm gonna die of thirst. See? Right now, I need a drink. When you need water, you need to drink. And when you need to sleep, you have to obey your body, don't you? You have to get some rest. You'll get sick and you'll get hurt. And in the same way, when I'm at my job, I have to obey my boss and get done what he says. And if I'm on the road, I have to obey the highway patrol. And if I'm at the grocery store, I have to obey the law and not just put things in my pocket and walk out the door, don't I? There are certain rules that we have to obey in the Lord. According to the flesh, we have to obey our bosses. But then when we get to church, we have to obey the authorities over us at the church. Or when the Holy Spirit moves, we have to obey the Holy Spirit. You see, I have found that I am never able to make my own choices and decide my own fate. And when I came to that determination that it's no longer I that live, it's no longer I that make those determinations or choices, as Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. When I come to the realization that Christ has to be the one that lives in me, that Christ has to be the one leading me and guiding me, and I just stop making all the decisions on my own in every aspect of my life, life gets a lot simpler, doesn't it? It gets a lot simpler. And I want to challenge you. As you serve the Lord, submit to the Holy Spirit. And as you serve Jesus, submit to his will and submit to his word. And as you do those things, it becomes much easier to submit to some worldly boss. But your ability to submit at work reflects on your ability to submit to Jesus. And I want to challenge you, if you're having a hard time submitting at work, maybe look at your spiritual life and ask yourself, am I reading God's word? Am I in prayer? Am I living a life submitted to his will? Am I living a life given over to him? Because if you're not submitted to Christ, it'll be really hard to submit to your boss. Now, the right attitude is the next thing that he says about you, about us employees. He says, well, if you want to be according to God's design and have a spirit-filled workplace, you need the right behavior, the right perspective, and then the right attitude. Notice what he says here. He says, with fear and trembling. Now, I think this is interesting. The right attitude is fear and trembling. Now, he's not talking about cowering in fright. He's not talking about afraid your boss is going to backhand you. And if you have that kind of boss, you probably need to find a new job and go to HR, but in that order. Find a new job first, then go to HR, because by the time you go to HR, you'll probably get fired. But make sure that you're not in a place where you're going to be hurt. But he says here, have the right attitude. This idea of fear and trembling is not cowering in fear, but it's honor and respect that makes a person anxious to please someone else. My daughters right now are in that stage where they just want to please me. I know it'll go away, but don't pop my bubble just yet, okay? Right now, I'm enjoying it. They want to please. You know, you come home and everyone wants to show you their homework, and they want to tell you how well their day went, and they want to tell you that they, you know, I didn't punch my sister all day, Dad. And they want to show you their coloring pages, and look at this! And then they want to take you into your bedroom and show you how they rearranged your furniture. And they just want to please. They're so anxious to please at that age, you know, when they're in between like 4 and 10. Before all the hormones start kicking in and everything else. They're so anxious to please. They just want you to tell them, I'm proud of you. That's the attitude you're supposed to have to your boss. To do your best according to what the Lord has empowered you to do, that when he comes around, you can say, boss, look, I got this done for you. That he can say, and you know, our Heavenly Father, he says, well, enter in, my good and faithful servant. He always compliments us. Have you ever thought about what that means? we go to the Lord and say, God, I haven't sinned in this area all day. Aren't I awesome? God, I haven't robbed a bank all year. And a lot of times we want to be pat on the back, don't we? I mean, now, if it was me and somebody came up to me and says, hey, man, I'm so happy. I haven't killed anybody in like 6 months. Well, that's great. Please don't. You know, you'd get a little weirded out, wouldn't you? You'd be afraid of that person. But sometimes when you're dealing with sin, don't you do the same thing with God? You want to celebrate after only just a couple months of not doing what you weren't supposed to do. Don't we do the same thing? We want God to pat us on the back when we don't sin. And he's like, yeah, okay, that's like the zero. That's minimum. You're back up to where you should be. Now let's see if you can do good on top of it. But he still gives us the praise and the accolades of praise. And he still says, he still encourages us. And he still sends people into our life to encourage us. And if we do well at work, won't we get encouraged to bonuses or raises or promotions or things of that nature? Or just job security? Won't you get encouraged through these things? Absolutely. If you do well, I don't want to challenge you. Do well. Have the right perspective. Want to please your boss. Be anxious to make sure that they're happy with your work. Don't be the guy who shovels the dirt really slow. I had a guy once, we asked him to dig a hole in Nicaragua. We did a lot of digging in Nicaragua. And this guy, I hired him to dig a hole that was 10 feet wide, 15 feet long, and 40 feet deep. And he started, and a month later, he had gotten 1 foot deep. He broke 6 shovels, 3 pickaxes, and he was only 1 foot deep. He was the most expensive worker I ever had. And I told him at the end of a month, I tried to give him 2 weeks, and he hadn't gotten anything done. And I said, well, I'll give you 2 more weeks, but you got to get some work done here. And just so you know, when I hired somebody else to do the job, 4 days, it was done. So a month was a long time of paying the guy a daily wage to not have anything done. And I asked him, I said, what's going on? He goes, well, I just don't like digging much. I don't like paying people who don't like digging much. We don't always do what we want, but we always need to want to please he who pays our bills. He says, have this right perspective here. Have this right attitude. You know, I may not like digging ditches, but I like getting paid and feeding my family. I may not like having to be a janitor or having to wash walls. You know, in Nicaragua, sometimes we didn't have any money for construction. I told the guys, I'll pay you every day to come to work, but some days you might be trimming the grass, and other days we might be throwing up stucco on a building, and other days we might be digging in the dirt, and other days we might be cutting down tree branches, but I don't care what we're going to do. I'll keep paying you. You show up to work every day. Even if I can't construct, I'll make sure that you feed your family. But you're going to do whatever I ask. That's a perspective I think that we've lost so many times. Until the jobs get scarce and until things get hard, it's easy to lose perspective of who we should be at work. Imagine this for just a moment. Christ died on the cross for your sin. And he asks you to obey, and he asks you to share his gospel with others, and he asks you to proclaim his name in all the earth. Now, what if you were to just say, yeah, I really don't like that evangelism stuff, but I'll be the guy who controls the finances, or I'll be the guy who builds and constructs on the church, or I'll be the guy who teaches, or I'll be the guy who plays guitar, but that evangelism stuff just isn't my thing. Is that something that we could say to Jesus, who died on the cross and saved us from our sins, and then all of a sudden, yeah, I really don't want to do that, Jesus? No, we owe him everything. And in the same way, when I go to work, I don't want to have that perspective that I'm thinking, oh, well, I don't like to do this. I'm not going to do a great job. No, I may not want to do this, but I want to do everything that I do well. Because then I glorify the Lord, and I glorify he who really provides for me, my God. So he says, if you're going to submit, you have to have the right behavior and the right perspective, and you have to have the right attitude, and then you have to have the right commitment. Notice what he says here. He says 5 things. Number 1, you have to be sincere. He says in sincerity of heart. And it's interesting because he doesn't want you to serve insincerely, hypocritically. You know, oh, well, whatever. I don't care if the company fails, that if the company goes under, I just want a paycheck. And if, you know, they're not going to work, then fine, whatever. I'll go somewhere else. That's a big problem in the workplace today. People don't care about the company that they work for. If you used to work for Ford or GM, you only drove the car from the company that you worked for. And you believed in the company and you had stock in the company. And it's changed a lot. The stock market has changed our perspective on corporations. You see, today you'll own part of Apple, and tomorrow you'll own part of GM, and then the next day you'll sell it all and buy some shares in SolarCity, and then a few days later you'll be in this other company because wherever you can make a quick buck, you really don't care about the company you're investing in, just the profits that you might be able to move through them. And he says, no, don't work that way. Don't be that kind of a person. Invest into your job. Have you ever thought about this? This is something that we need to consider. If you really invest into your company properly and they do well, how are you going to do? Well, huh? Because if you're sincere and you have the right perspective and you're obedient and you want to really make your boss proud of you and you want to impress him and you want to please him, then what's going to happen? Well, if you're a construction worker, your company's going to be known for quality and speed, right? Customer service. If you work in the mall and you're just selling stuff, you're going to be known as the guy who can really help people understand what's going on. And if you're working at a daycare, you're going to be known as the really caring caregiver that really takes care of the kids and is interested in. And if you're focused on your business, this is something that we have to do. We have to be involved and we have to be sincere about our participation with the company. If you do that and the company looks good, guess who else gets to keep their job and get a raise and have more work? It's you. And if you don't work very well, if you don't care how the company looks, if you don't care how your boss looks, if you don't care what the job looks like when you're done, what's going to happen to you later on when no one wants to hire your company? You're going to get fired. Now, it's the same perspective that we should have in Christ. This is interesting because in Christ, we are to care about the perspective that the world has on the church, aren't we? We're to care what the church looks like. We're to care about how we're perceived in the world. We're to care about how they look at our bumper stickers when we're driving down the street. Now, if you can't drive properly, take the bumper sticker off. But really, you should start by driving better. Start by driving better. But think about your perspective. At the church, when we serve the Lord, our actions reflect on who? On God. And we should care about how people perceive the church. Because if you go ask people, what's the church all about? Non-Christians on the street, what are they going to say about us today? What are they going to say about our church? What are they going to say about Calvary Chapel? What are they going to say about Christians in general? How are you perceived? Are we perceived as a militant right-wing group who wants to bomb abortion clinics? Are we perceived as people who are always very political and trying to overthrow the government? Because that's not who we are. That's not who Jesus asked us to be. How are you perceived? How is our church perceived? And then when we go to our jobs, it's the same perspective, isn't it? How is the company look when we are slacking off or when we don't care about what's going on? We're not invested. But then he says, not hypocritical. Notice what he says. Not with eye service. Now that word eye service means that when the boss is around, you're working really hard. The minute he goes, you're taking too many breaks and you're not producing your quota and you're really slacking off. You know, how many of you have ever seen somebody who's done that before? Just really slow on their job and they take. That's eye service right there. He says, not with eye service, not hypocritical, saying that you're doing one thing but really doing another. And he says, not superficial. He doesn't want us to be superficial in the way that we serve him. Notice what he says as men pleasers. The idea of pleasing your boss is different than pleasing the people around you, pleasing your coworkers, trying to make everybody happy, just trying to go through the motions so that no one will be mad at you. And no, we're supposed to get our job done. Then he says we're supposed to be genuine, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. We're supposed to be genuine and thorough. That means that when you work for your boss, now, you might have an evil boss, and maybe you need to find another place to work. I don't know. But when you have a job, You are to submit to your job as if Jesus was your boss, and the work that you were doing is for the ministry. Did you see that right there in verse 6? But as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Is that how you work at your job? Is that how you share your testimony with your coworkers? Do they see a hard worker who's diligent, who gets their stuff done on time? Or do they see somebody who's hypocritical, men pleasers, and eye servicers? They just want to, oh, they look good on the outside, but they're really not getting anything done, and they're making the company look bad. How do you work, and how do you serve at work? You see, he wants us to have the right commitment, but that means that we have to be genuine and thorough, serving as if we're serving Jesus. But then he says, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. He says it again. Do you notice he repeated himself? Because he really wants us to understand, if you're an employee today, you are to serve your boss as if you're serving Jesus. Now, you're not to do anything illegal or wrong. You're not to do anything immoral. But if he asks you to work hard, then what do you need to do? Work hard. Whether or not you get a bonus, whether or not you get a raise, whether or not they give you a pat on the back and recognize your hard work, it doesn't matter. You don't work for them. You work for Jesus. Notice he says here that you're to have the right diligence. Be diligent at work, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill. Not prompted or compelled to do good, but as to the Lord, not to men. And then he ends with this in verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Now this is an interesting promise. This is one of those nuggets, those little promises that you find hidden in God's word that are really encouraging. How many of you sometimes have a hard time at work? How many of you? You know what he says? As you do these things, as you're diligent and you're being faithful, and as you have the right motive and the right commitment and the right attitude and the right perspective and the right behavior, and as you're obedient, he has this right reward. What is the reward? He says, when you do well at work, God says that you will receive the same from him. Wow. If you're diligent at work, God says he will be diligent for you. Isn't that awesome? That as you humble yourself and serve at your work and your job, he gives you this promise that whatever good anyone does. So as you are being awesome at work and fulfilling these requirements as an employee, God says you will receive the same from the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're a slave or free. It doesn't matter if you're in jail or if you're working at Walmart. It doesn't matter. Wherever you work, whatever you do, if you are diligent as an employee, God says, I will bless you. I will take care of you. Now, that should give you a different perspective. Because when you work, if you work for God and not for your boss, then when it comes time for the raises, you're not going to ask for one. Why not? Because you don't work for that guy. If you want a raise, you're going to pray to the Lord. God, if you don't mind, look at my work and my service, and if you want me to have a raise, then you give me a raise. And if not, then help provide for all of my needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It may not be through work, God, but whatever it is, provide for my family. And you watch as he blesses you, and he says, okay, I'll take care of it. You may not get that raise or that promotion at work. Maybe God doesn't want you to have that. Maybe he wants to provide in another way. But God does promise that he will provide for you. He will work with you and on you, and whatever you have done, you will receive the same from the Lord, whether you're slave or free. That's an awesome promise. So if you're an employee here tonight, don't look at your worldly compensation, but look to what the Lord wants to provide for you as you serve him. Then he goes on in verse 9 to the employers. And you masters or employers, you bosses out there, do the same things to them. Giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. Now, what does he say? Do the same things to your employees. What same things? Well, really, verse 6 through 8, where he says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord, knowing that whatever good you do, you'll receive the same from the Lord. So with that same purpose in your heart, those things that which we talked about for employees, you are to serve your employees with the same heart, the same design. He says, do the same things to them. So, and if you haven't done so already, on that second line, write the submission of employers. Do you realize, employers, that while you may be the big boss, you're called to submit to the Lord for your employees? And he wants us to be diligent to the Lord. You know, I've known a lot of companies that you have these bosses that are tyrants and they're terrible. But then I've seen companies where the boss, he serves the Lord and he says, you know what, I'm going to give God everything and I'm going to watch him as he watches me. And they have grace and they have mercy and they're willing to train their employees. The morale at home is a lot better. The morale at work is a lot better. And they always do a lot better in their finances. So if you have employees, don't mistreat them. You remember something, that they are God's servants, not yours. They are God's servants, not yours. That's hard to do, especially if they don't have that perspective. Because when you start being nice, they're going to try to take advantage of it. If they're non-Christians and they're doing what's wrong. And that's sometimes hard to do because you're the boss and you've got to maintain order. But at the same time, you have to treat them as if they are God's servants. Now, would you talk to God's servant the way you talk to your employees? Would you treat them the same way? Would you withhold bonuses or raises from them so you could take and get a bigger bonus or a bigger raise? Would you work them all hours so that they couldn't go to church or go to school or go home to their families? Would you force them to get to work when they're sick, if they really are sick? Would you, if it was God's servant, would you do these things to them? Now you think about the way you treat your employees. And if you're not, if you're doing something that you wouldn't do to Christ's servants, then you need to change your perspective. So he says all of this stuff that we just talked about, that applies to employers too. But then he gives you a couple of quick things for yourself if you're an employer. He says, giving up threatening. Now that doesn't work. Throwing your weight around and being abusive and inconsiderate. If you don't get this done, you're fired. What does that do to your employees? It really ruins morale, doesn't it? It really hurts their desire to want to do anything for you. If you're telling your employees that you're just going to fire them all the time, you're never going to get anywhere. You can't throw your weight around. You have to realize that your own authority is what? It's temporary. It's functional. It's only earthly, right? Your fleshly, your worldly bosses, he said here. Your masters according to the flesh. And if you're a master, you're only a master according to the flesh. You're not their life coach, and you don't rule their home. And you don't have spiritual authority over them, if you would. And you can't tell them how to live the rest of their life because you're just their master, what? According to the flesh. But you have to be considerate of all these other things. Considerate of their time to be at home. Considerate of their well-being. Considerate of them. Because if you're not treating your employees right, the overall company isn't going to do well either. So he says, be considerate of them. Give up threatening. Realize that these workers are the Lord's, not yours. Then he goes on and he says, understand your place, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. So if you are an employer, you have to know your place. You have to realize that you are God's servant. Even if you're the owner of the company, or you're the boss, and everybody at your center of employment, they look to you for all the answers. You need to realize you are God's employee. And God shows no importance. God, you're no more important than or worthy than your employees are, and God has no partiality. We need Jesus, salvation, and the Holy Spirit just as much as our employees do. Amen? And if you have people working for you, have that perspective. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we have a specifically spiritual perspective at the workplace. It's not just where you go to work and you suspend being a Christian when you walk into work, and then you become a Christian again when you come out of the building. You have to have a Christian, godly perspective from the time that you get up to the time that you go home. Anything else is hypocrisy. So let me ask you a question. When you go to work, do you become a different person? When you go to work, do you treat people differently than you would treat the Lord's sheep? As an employee or an employer, it doesn't matter, does it? You go to work, you have to have a godly perspective. You have to have a perspective that I serve Jesus. You know, I was at a hospital recently at work, and a lady, she asked me, you know, what were my hobbies? And I said, oh, I don't have any. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. I have way too much to do to have any hobbies. And she says, you're a pastor? And I said, yeah, well, you knew I was a chaplain. So, yeah, I'm a pastor too. She goes, of what church? Calvary Chapel. Oh, I go to Calvary Chapel right over here in the high desert. And I said, wow, well, that's awesome. And she goes, you know, I thought there was something about you. I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? And she goes, no, it's a good thing. So do you think I could get marriage counseling? Are you married? Well, not yet. Well, maybe we should work on that first. And not even a week later, she was married. She got married on the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, to her boyfriend, who had been her boyfriend for 8 years. She had never gotten married, and just over talking, she rededicated her heart to the Lord. Her fiancé rededicated his heart to the Lord. They got married. Her son, who went to jail, she was able to minister to him through that time. And it was just awesome to see the changes that happened. Now, if you go to work without that perspective, that you are a Christian at work as much as you are a Christian at home, and that you serve Jesus at work as much as you serve Jesus on the street or at church, God can use you to affect a change in people's lives. But if you become a different person, if you're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll at home, really nice and sweet, the scientist who does everything right, and then you get on the freeway and you become Mr. Hyde, the voracious murderer who roams the streets looking for prey. You know, maybe that's you. Maybe you go to work and you yell at people and you're rude to people and you're mean and you don't get your job done and you make others do your job for you and you complain all the time and you're just generally a pill. Then it's time to have a new perspective and stop going to work like that and let the Lord change your testimony. Now, by the way, this works for students too. If you're going to school, if you're willing to take that class, then you need to submit and do that work and you need to do it honorably. You should be someone who's doing well. So what do you do for the kind of evil boss who doesn't do the right things? What if you have one of those monster bosses? You know, that mistreat you. Well, what you need to do is pray for them. And pray for them and pray for them and pray for them. But then serve them as if you're serving Jesus. He'll take care of the rest. If David could serve Saul, King David could submit himself to this evil, nasty, horrible guy who tried to kill him, who stole his wife from him and gave her to another man, and who ran him out of town and many times, and he killed all of his friends and anybody who would ever help him. Think about it. He killed all the priests, and he went after David all the time, and every time that he fell into David's hand, David said, what have you come out against a flea of a dead dog? He treated him with respect, and he served him as if he was with the Lord. He served him humbly, and look at what God did. God gave him the whole country. Now, I'm sure you don't have a boss that's throwing spears at you, or that is demon-possessed. If you do, find another job. But if you have a bad boss, think of what you can do to your employees. Everyone who saw David realized this guy is legit. This guy's not evil. He's doing well. He's doing what's right. So God says if we're really going to be effective as a church, what do we need to do? We need to be servants. The only way that you're going to be effective at work is that you go to work to serve Jesus. Whether you're an employee or an employer, that's the perspective that we need to have. Because Christ came that we would be able to have life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. See, Christ gave himself for you on the cross, not so that you could be a jerk at work, not so that you could demand your higher wages and all that other stuff. You know, I've always found that God takes care of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. If I leave it to the world, I'm not going to get very much, am I? So don't let your boss be the one who decides what you make. Let God be the one who decides what you make. You give it over to him. But the right perspective comes from understanding what Christ had to give. You see, the Bible says that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And maybe tonight, you've forgotten that perspective when you go to work. You see, as we prepare for communion tonight, I want to remind you of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Where he says in chapter 11, where he says in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus took on the same night which he was betrayed, he took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, 'Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this to remember me by, in remembrance of me. Remember the sacrifice that I gave for you.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup, and after supper, he said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it to remember me by.'" What the purpose of communion was is to remember the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross for your sins. "For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." You see, that's the purpose of communion, is to proclaim the Lord's death, to remember that he died on the cross for your sins. Now he goes on in verse 27 through 34 to say, to examine yourself. But I want to challenge you to examine yourself at work too. If Christ died on the cross for your sins, if he cleansed you of your unrighteousness, that you would have life in him, then what manner of life should that be when you're at work? What manner of life should that be when you're out in the community? What testimony should you have as you serve Jesus? And tonight, as the ushers prepare to come forward with the communion, I'd like you to bow your heads with me. And let's go before the Lord and offer up this time in prayer. Father, as we come before you, we pray that you would give us, Father, your wisdom. Father, that you would help us tonight to remember the sacrifice that you gave us on the cross. And Lord, as we come before you tonight, it's our desire that you would be honored, whether we're at work or at school or at home or in the community. And Lord, we pray that as we come before you, that you would be glorified in all things. Father, as we come before you, sometimes it's hard to submit. Sometimes it's hard to give our life away. But Father, we pray that as we would come before you tonight, that you would go before us and cleanse our hearts, Father. That you would work in us and through us. That you would guide our hearts. That, Lord, when we would go to work, we wouldn't be the evil people that we sometimes can be, but, Lord, that you would shine through us. Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to worship you and to honor you and to remember the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So as we come before you, Lord, and as we search and seek after you, we pray, Lord, that you would guide our hearts and our steps. Lord, that you would give us your wisdom and understanding. And Lord, that our sacrifice of time and praise would be acceptable to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.